Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Palsy, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub, Bob.
What a moment that was, City Limits. Ron from Cooks Forest calling Folsey's show on Saturday. Were you listening live?
I actually had just gotten out of the car to go to the Pirate game, and I missed it. And I saw Folsey tweet it, and I was like, man, he got another.
Ron from Cooks Forest? That's got to be flagged down.
He stumped another. Yeah, yeah, I think I'd like to say that I would recognize that.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And this gentleman up right now at the plate, John Parrotto, is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. How about that, Johnny? Ron from Cooks Forest gets in.
Still trying to quit laughing about that. That's pretty good. Ron from Cooks Forest.
Who would have thunk it?
I know. You know, absolutely. Who would think Ron would be in a forest of all places?
Of all places. He's at the beach. Is it true, Johnny, that there is a nudist colony in Beaver County?
Yeah, you know, that is true. And it's been here for a long, 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 long time. And before you ask, no, I've never been there.
Paul, thoughts on the nudist colony?
I have no thoughts. The one day I heard Ron Cook talking about it, and I just was like, the whole thing to me
is called a nudist resort. What does that mean, Johnny?
Can I just tell you?
They play pickleball there?
Here's the problem.
I have.
Here's the biggest problem with that whole thing, to me, is like when you hear about a nudist resort, you know? Men always have these flights of fantasy like it's all these hot chicks walking around naked. In reality, it's a bunch of old dudes, right? And fat chicks, probably.
Oh, boy.
Nope. A bunch of people you don't want to watch. A bunch of people you don't want to see in the nude. That's why I don't want to talk about it. Am I wrong, Joe?
I can't tell you how glad I am I brought up this subject, Johnny.
I'm just saying. You asked my opinion. You know, I just gave you my opinion. I think that anytime, you know, I've had people say that they've gone to like a nude beach,
yeah,
thinking they were going to see a bunch of hot women, and that's not what they've seen.
No. I've only known two people who've ever told me they were there. And they were both male, and I would not want to see either one of them in the buff.
Mm. All right. Well, let's move on to the Pirates and the trade deadline, shall we, Johnny?
Yes.
Do you think Bob Nutting and Ben Cherington have the stomach to part with top prospects? I was just asking Gormley the Owl about this. Do you think we're going to see a big deal where they get rid of, I don't know, a Bubba Chandler, a Termar Johnson, somebody like that?
I really don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I just don't think they were going to give up on their top prospects because I think deep down they know that they have, according to Baseball Reference, they have an 8% chance of making the playoffs this year. So unless you trade these guys for somebody that you're going to have for more than just a two-month rental in August and September, I would say no. Now, if they could get another good, younger, controllable player for 3 or 4 years, then maybe they would do it. But as far as going out and getting like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for a year and a couple months, maybe that. But for somebody like Pete Alonso that's eligible for free agency at the end of the year, I can't imagine that.
That's the thing. Like, it's really kind of depressing, John, is that every expert, quote unquote, insider, whatever we're calling, people that cover the team and really have knowledges of the team, they almost all universally say they don't expect the Pirates to part ways with a top 5 prospect, and many don't think they're even going to part ways with a top 10 prospect. My question is, if you're not going to part ways with one of your top, what are you going to be able to realistically get back? I guess where we come up with the Josh Bells of the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'll get a guy like you know, you think back to when they made the playoffs in 13 for the first time in a million years. They made the wild card game. They went out and got Justin Morneau, who didn't work out, and they got Marlon Byrd, who did work out. And, I mean, you know, but those certainly weren't top-tier type players, Paul. They were just good big league players. And, you know, I can see the Pirates doing something like that, but I really would be surprised. I think deep down, if you shot them with truth serum, and I know they've talked about contending this year, and I know the National League's mediocre, and even though they're, you know, don't even have a 500 record, they're still very much in playoff contention. But I think if you made them really tell the truth, I think they don't think they're really a playoff team this year. I think only because the National League is so bad. And I think they feel next year and the year after are really the years when they're ready to strike and make a run at the division.
John Perotto on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Let me go off the board just for a minute, Johnny, before I forget. You've been covering baseball for a long, long time. The passing of Willie Mays last week, where do you put him among the all-time greats, and did you ever have an interaction with him?
I would put him, I still think in my mind Babe Ruth was the greatest player ever, and you can make a case, and I know some people get upset, but Barry Bonds. But when you're talking about all around, nobody did more things better than Willie Mays. I mean, he could hit for average. He could hit for power. He could run. He was, you know, he's a great fielding, great fielder. Just had a good arm. And, you know, I mean, basically, he called pitches for a couple of years when he was with the Giants from center field. He called the pitches. So, I mean, that's what great instincts he had as a ball player, too, and how much he was trusted by Giants management. And the second part of your question, yes, I did meet him once. It was in spring training, probably about, I'd say, 10 years ago now, maybe not quite that long. I was in Arizona doing touring some camps there, and Ryan Vogelsong was with the Giants at the time, of course, the former Pirate pitcher. And Willie Mays was sitting at a table with Willie McCovey and Juan Marichal. Mm. You talk about a table. And he's sitting at a table in the clubhouse, and Vogelsong goes, "Did you ever meet Willie Mays?" And I said, "No, Ryan, I haven't." He goes, "I'll introduce you." And I said, "Nah, I don't want you to bother him." No, I said, "I appreciate it, but no." And Ryan insisted. He said, "No." He goes, "I know how much you love baseball and how much you know about baseball history. I really want you to meet him. He's a good guy. He won't be a bother." So we walked over to the table, and Ryan Vogelsong introduced me. And he had the second, Willie Mays, that is, had the second most firmest handshake ever behind Chuck Taylor that I ever had. I thought he broke like three of my fingers. And even at that point, he was in his 80s. I mean, it was quite a grip. And, you know, I just said, "Hi, nice to meet you." And I didn't really want to bother him. So we just exchanged pleasantries for a minute. He wanted to know where I was from. And we probably talked for less than a minute, but it was a real thrill, you know, and I'll admit I was kind of awestruck as I stood there. I'm thinking, like, my God, it's Willie Mays. And, you know, is this really cool? And I'm glad that Ryan Vogelsong really kind of nudged me to go do it, because it's certainly a memory I'll cherish forever.
That's awesome.
Did you ever interview Willie Mays Hayes?
Nigel Morgan was the closest thing to Willie Mays Hayes that I ever knew. Does that count?
What about Willie Mays Aiken?
You may run like Hayes, but you hit like... Right. Anyway, so... obviously, Willie Mays and Barry Bonds have a fascinating relationship. John, sort of back to the Pirates a little bit when we were talking about the kinds of trades that are out there. There's only X amount of teams that are out of it that might be actual real sellers. So if you're the Pirates, I mean, aren't you probably going to have to overpay a little bit more than you want to get some guys? And if that's the case, does it make them more reluctant to make deals?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I mean, it could. You know, it all depends on the market. And like you said, Paul, there really are. There's only like five teams you can really point to and say, well, they have no chance at this point. Toronto is getting toward that, becoming the sixth team. But yeah, I mean, the fewer sellers and the more buyers, it's certainly going to be tougher to acquire these players. And I think that's probably another part of the reason why I don't think the Pirates will make the big splash move, because there's so many other teams, especially the larger market teams, that would be willing to part with their best prospects more than the Pirates would be willing to part with their best prospects. And I think that, too, with the being such a small seller's market, I think that works against the Pirates as well.
John Parato on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Johnny, have you spoken with Key Brian Hayes about his situation with the back, about his season? Where do you see this going from here? Because it's been a disaster.
It has. And, you know, I did talk to him a little bit on the last homestand last week. And, you know, Key's a very quiet guy, and he doesn't say a whole lot. He's a really nice kid, but he just isn't real talkative. And he's one of those guys that I think even if he could barely walk, he would not admit that his back's bothering him. And he claims that he told me it's not an issue, that it was an issue for a couple of weeks, but after he came off the IL, everything was fine. I don't know if he's totally leveling with me. I think, I'm not saying the kid's a liar. I think he just doesn't want to look like he's making excuses. And there's got to be something going on there. And, you know, I've been concerned about this for the last few years because, you know, we've all known people who had back problems, and they just don't magically go away usually. A lot of times they're chronic and they're persistent. And I really wonder, I've got to believe that that's what's holding me back, you know, what's holding his average down and his power, because, you know, I can't imagine as good as he was in the second half of last season is as bad as he has been the first half of this year. And to me, it has to be some kind of issue, and it would logically seem to be the back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And if he's got a back issue, they've got a problem because they owe him a lot of money over the next X amount of years, which is not ideal. You know, John, it looks like they moved Jared Jones' start back and not Skeens' start. Did you find that interesting? And the other thing was they didn't really – Bailey Falter was talking a little bit about how he was exhausted. I kind of thought they were going to, you know, maybe push Skeens back into the homestand, but they didn't. Were you surprised by that?
A little bit. But, you know, Jones is up to 86 innings already, and he's got a few more. Skeens of 73 when you count the majors and the minors. But I would suspect they're going to give Skeens a long break around the All-Star break. That would be my guess. You know, maybe go 9 or 10 days without pitching. But, I kind of thought, I think with Jones, he's probably pitched a little bit more than they thought he was going to. I think they thought he'd have a few shorter starts. But if you look, a lot of times he's gone 6 and 7 innings. He went 7 innings last Saturday when he beat the Rays at the PNC Park. So I think they're trying to be cautious. And, they don't want to shut these guys down for like a month and say, okay, take a month off and then ramp back up and pitch again. So I think they're going to try to get as creative as they can. And this is one way they can do it, especially with Martin Perez coming back into the starting rotation. But I think both of them are going to get some extended rest from here and there, maybe go skip a start or get a couple of extra days between starts, because the Pirates really want them to pitch a full season. And it's kind of like a tightrope where you want them to pitch a full year, but you also don't want them to pitch like 190 or 200 innings. And you really have to balance that. And that's a hard thing to do. And the Pirates are, you know, they really messed it up with Roansy Contreras 2 years ago. And I think they're trying to do better to get it right this time.
Talking to John Parrotto here on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Johnny, the thought has struck me that at this point, it feels like the Pirates are doing a disservice to Jack Sawinski by keeping him in the majors. Like, he just looks like someone whose confidence might be damaged beyond repair. Would you send him to the minors or keep him here and try and work things out?
I'm with you, Joe. I don't see what he's gaining by being in the big leagues right now. I mean, if he were just hitting into some tough luck or just struggling for a week or two, I'd say, well, you know, it's okay. You can have him work his problems out in the big leagues, but he needs a shot of confidence and he needs to start producing is the bottom line. And I just don't see that. I don't see any major signs of him turning things around anytime soon. And when that's the case, I think you've got to send him back down to Indy and, you know, keep him there for a while. They did send him out, about a month ago, but he was only there like a week or something. It wasn't, if it was more than a week, it wasn't much more than a week. And I don't know. I think he needs an extended stay down there and really work out his problems because it's hard for a young player, and he's still a young player, to try to get on track when you're playing in the big leagues against, big league pitching night in and night out.
What's interesting is, just on that subject, you know, we had Derek Shelton a couple of days was talking about how it's difficult to get guys a real look at what's going on in the majors because minor league pitching, the gap between minor league pitching and major league pitching has never been greater, and that basically anybody with reasonable velocity is pushed through to the majors quickly. So,
yeah
I mean, have you seen that? Have you seen that there's a bigger gap? And is that part of what's made it hard to get guys ready when they're in the minors to get them ready to play in the majors?
I know Derek Shelton's continued to say that, and I certainly defer to him. He would know better than I, sitting in the dugout seeing these pitchers up close. I tend to think that there is certainly a gap. I'm not ready to say it's bigger than ever between AAA and the big leagues. I still think there's some pretty decent pitching in AAA. And, you know, you get out into AAA and you're facing, you know, anymore, a lot of guys in AAA have had some time in the big leagues. And so you are facing guys who at least have big league experience. And, you know, I just don't see what Jack Sawinski's gaining by being 0-for-4 and striking out a couple of times every night in the big leagues. And like Joe said, I just see his confidence waning. And, you know, even if he is facing inferior pitching, if he hits 300, it certainly would help his mental outlook a little bit, I would think, to have some success, even if it is at the minor league level.
Paul, look up at that monitor. It's Ben Charrington in a Steelers shirt getting interviewed.
Yes.
On the show here. Maybe he could trade for Brandon Ayuk at some point, Johnny, huh?
Maybe. Maybe he could trade. Let's see, who could he trade? Who do they have to give up? Maybe Jack Sawinski could be part of the package.
Maybe Sawinski.
Maybe he's a good football player. Maybe, yeah.
Paul, may I engage Johnny in a game of free association?
Absolutely.
All right.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones.
Here we go, Ron. Johnny. Are you ready?
I can't quit laughing.
Ron in Cooks Forest. I mean, if you would have asked me, I would have said there's a 1% chance I'm getting through onto the show, and they let me right through. You want to come in? Anybody in? Like I told Jolene.
Oh, I dropped some bear this morning.
I told Jolie Nelson he'd make a horrible bouncer. I mean, you'd have 11-year-olds saddling up to the bar. I mean,
Ron,
come on.
In Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones.
They'll let anybody in, Johnny. You ready? Here we go. One word answers if you want. If you want to go as low as one word.
Okay.
Endy Rodriguez is the long-term catcher here.
Yes.
Rowdy will leave Pittsburgh as a beloved figure.
Yes.
Luis Ortiz will wind up in the rotation.
Yes. Yeah.
Gonzalez or Perez, who has a bigger impact on the rest of the season?
I'm going to say Gonzalez.
The Bednar injury is a big deal, small deal, no deal?
Medium deal.
Majinski and Borecki will both have a big impact on the second half.
Yes.
You still believe Termar Johnson will be a star someday, if you ever did?
Yes.
Mitch Keller is going to win 20 games.
No.
Rowdy will hit at least 17 homers.
No.
Cruz will hit at least 25.
Yes.
Who's going to rep the Pirates at the All-Star game?
I'm going to say Paul Skenes.
As the only one?
Well, it depends. If they may get Keller may make it, and Jared Jones may make it, too. And, you know, you can make a pretty good case for Colin Holderman, whose ERA is 1.3. They usually, you know, they've been more open to taking setup guys in the All-Star game than they have in years past. So I mean, they do have some guys. Brian Reynolds have a legitimate case to be there. So, but I do think they'll try to find a way to put Skenes on the roster somehow.
Percent chance that Skenes is the starter for the National League?
Zero.
Zero?
Yes.
What was I just going to ask you, John? Oh, Brian Reynolds leads all NL outfielders in total bases, and he's second in OPS. Does he have a real chance to get there?
Yes. Yes.
Luis Robert or Vladimir Guerrero on your wish list? Who'd you rather have?
Luis Robert.
Ooh. Can you explain that in a sentence?
Because he has 3 years of control, and they have two clubs. He has one more year on his contract after this year, guaranteed, and then two options where Vlad Jr. Becomes a free agent at the end of the next season. And I think they need to trade for somebody for long term, and I think Luis Robert would be really, really a good fit here in Pittsburgh.
Any other name on your wish list, Johnny?
Nobody really stands out. I kind of like Jesus Sanchez, the right fielder of the Marlins. I like the fact he's a left-handed hitter, and they could use, in my mind, another left-handed bat, especially playing in PNC Park. He hasn't quite lived up to his reputation yet, and he's 25, and maybe you buy him low from the Marlins and get a high payoff for him, because he is a talented guy. He hasn't put up the numbers that the Marlins were hoping, but he is still young enough to where you could feel maybe a change of scenery would do him good.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones.
There's a name on your wish list. Would you make this trade?
I don't know, Pally.
Davis, Ortiz, and Burroughs. Henry Davis, Luis Ortiz, Mike Burroughs for Chisholm and Tanner Scott from the Marlins. Yes or no?
Yeah, I'd make it. I don't think the Marlins would, but I would. Yeah.
Destiny's Child tells us that Braxton Ashcraft will impact a major league team this year. Do you agree? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yes.
Pirates will make the playoffs.
No.
Pirates will win 82 games.
No.
Pirates will win 81 games.
No.
Derek Shelton will still be the manager and Ben Cherington still the GM at the beginning of next season.
Yes.
Paul, did you enjoy that version?
It's always good. Always good.
Anything you want to leave Johnny with?
No, I don't think so. We have that drop we could play for Johnny.
Yeah, right? He likes that.
John likes this drop. Where is it at? He's over here sleeping. Austin.
Limits.
Come on,
it's
city
too late.
Limit.
It's too late.
It's not over here.
It's too late.
Come on,
it's too late
here
now to
searching.
Run it.
Search,
hold on.
I thought it was at your fingertips the whole time.
Hit it. Jason Bay, all-star. There we go. All right.
Sometimes you got to search for him.
Ron from Cook Forest voted for Jason Bay. I know that.
That's right.
Thank you, Johnny. You're a hell of a... Why wasn't Johnny on TV today? Why isn't he on the screen?
I'm away from my computer, so I didn't want to put my big face on FaceTime. So,
all right, Johnny.
So next week we'll get back to it.
That was great stuff. We appreciate the time.
All right, you're welcome.
See you, buddy. John Parrotto, right there. Paul, we have a quiz show coming up at the top of the hour. Are you excited about that?
Absolutely.
One thing we didn't do was, well, there were a couple things Johnny said there. You know what? I'm going to ask you some of those questions I asked him at the end when we come back. Will Rowdy leave here as a beloved figure? He said yes. He said the Bednar injury, he didn't say it was a small deal. He said a medium deal. He said that Keller won't win 20. Do we think he will, etc.? I'm going to ask you some of those questions coming up.
Okay. Sounds good.
Next.